I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. When we're born again, we are born overcomers, the scripture said. And we are born with a measure of the God kind of faith in us. The faith that He created the worlds with. Isn't that astounding that what God used to create the universe, we have a measure of that inside us. Whew. Yeah. We are made and created in His likeness and image. But He didn't want robots that He's controlling and manipulating. He wants sons and daughters, family, and people He can trust, that trust Him. And so He's given us a completely free will, and we can choose to believe Him or not, love Him or not, obey Him or not. And that's the cause of all the pain that's in the earth, is that mankind by and large has chosen to rebel against God. But that's not me. That's not you, right? We're not rebels against God. We're the children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're the church. We're the called out ones. And as such, He has allowed us to grow and develop in this faith that He's put in us. If we'll feed it and use it, it develops and grows. And I'm convinced that this whole life down here on earth is training camp. That we're learning how to do these things, and that we will take the faith that we've learned past this life and really take off. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we're going to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom, His eternal kingdom, in which there is no end. And how has He always done things? Faith, right? He conceives it. He believes it. He speaks it into existence. And the Bible tells us, be imitators of God. Amen. As dear children. Well, we're not even close to creating stars and planets. But we ought to be able to get a handle on this little life down here in earth. Is that right? Believe to pay for a bill. Believe for a healer, right? Yes. See, we're very, very, very young. Mm-hmm. We just got started. And so we're in the beginning stages of our development. And so don't get frustrated if you're not already at the place you'd like to be. You're going to look a lot different 50,000 years from now. But this is our beginning. This is our start. And it's wonderful that we have this opportunity to grow in the things of God, and there had to be some adversary and something to overcome, or you have no opportunity to be an overcomer. And so, yeah, there's stuff in this life to overcome, but everything you see that's a challenge, look at it as an opportunity to exercise your faith, right? Yes. To as an opportunity to demonstrate that you trust God, right? Yes. To show Him that you trust Him, you believe Him, you rely on Him, you'll listen to Him, you'll obey Him. Somebody say, that's me.
That's me.
Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointing, asking for ears that can hear, asking for answers and direction for now. We want to see You. We want to know You and know You better and know Your ways and Your will. And we thank you for revealing it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look, please, again in the scripture at Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. We begin a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And so we're taking one after another reasons in the scripture why we are sure it's always God's will for all of us to have abundant provision. And if you think, well, I already know that, not like you're going to know it.
Amen.
Just stay with us. That you can always be stronger. And a lot of times people, this is the very first time they're hearing any of this. And so there are a lot of competing, contradictory ideas to this floating around, even in churches. And so you need to decide and get clear on what you believe, and it needs to be based on the solid it is written. Our first reason that we gave was we're sure it's God's will for us to always have abundant provision because the Lord is my shepherd. Read it again, Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it?
I shall not want.
I shall not want. As these other translations I read yesterday, another one says, I do not lack. Another one says, I shall not be in want. Another one says, there is nothing I lack. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. Another one says, I will not be without any good thing. Another one says, God's word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. I think it'd do us good to say that. Yeah. Say it out loud, the Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am not in lack.
I am not in lack.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I don't want. For any good thing.
For any good thing.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I will always have. Everything I need.
Everything I need.
Oh, this is good for us. It's good for us to hear it. It's good for us to see it. It's good for us to say it. And do you believe it? See, every one of us individually has to choose to believe it. Choose to receive it. I know I do. In John 10:10, we mentioned that Jesus, he referred to some of these same things. In the Amplified, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflow. Is he the God of abundance?
Yes.
Then is he the God of lack?
No.
Does lack please him?
No.
Does he use lack?
No.
See, you lose a lot of people there. Because people will say, well, you know, I've learned some valuable lessons by hard times. But now, what does the scripture say? And certainly, if you're in need and in a hard time, you want to look to God. You want to draw close to him. But when was lack ever a good thing? When was lack ever a blessing? Let me give you the definition of the words that are translated lack. That one that we just saw in Psalm 23, it's also translated need. We said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That same word's translated lack several times. It's also translated need, to be in need. And it's also translated fail. And of course, if there's lack, substantial lack in a situation, then that thing will fail, whatever's going on. It's just like, you know, if your car lacks gas, right? The motor will fail. And so why? Didn't have enough gas. And in the New Testament, the words that are translated that way mean the similar thing. In the New Testament word translated want or lack, it means to fall short or to be deficient. Same idea. Or to be behind. to be late, to be behind. Well, you know, people talk about that with their bills, don't they? When you're saying, well, late on a payment, late on a bill, why? Lack. Not having enough. Another one of the words, there's several variations of the same word, means a deficit, a falling short, a deficit. And there are different degrees of this. Why am I talking about this? Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Falling short, coming short, lacking, wanting, being late, being behind. When is that ever a good thing?
Never.
When is that ever a blessing?
Never.
Now, you know, the class here, I'm hearing answers I like. But you do understand there's a lot of church-going people that'll try to tell you that God's using a situation of lack to develop your piety, whatever that is, to, you know, to teach you some valuable lessons. Well, just being down here, you're going to have to believe God, right? There's opportunities every day, even when things are going well. But when did God ever take pleasure in seeing somebody go hungry? Huh? What would that make him? Is he a being that gets some kind of satisfaction out of seeing people suffer? Lack? Now see, when you say it like that, most people go, well, I don't think so. But then they'll turn right around and try to tell you that there's some mysterious reason God is withholding from them, or that he just chose, you know, some people, we don't know why, but some people he caused to be born into abject poverty, and others he caused to be, you know, rich. And we don't know why God makes some people rich and for some reason God wanted these people to be poor. No. 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 Somebody said, well, if it was God's will that everybody had plenty, then everybody would have plenty. Now, if it was God's will for everybody to be saved, they'd be saved. And they're not. Right?
Right.
No, the scripture says in Peter, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are there people perishing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not God's will.
Right.
If God's will was done, everybody would be saved, and we'd get out of here today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And go on to the next glorious thing. But see, that's why we're told, among other things, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Pray that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if everything that's happening already is the will of God, there's no need in me praying that. Because everything that happens is the will of God. No. See, other false religions believe this very strongly, that everything that happens is the will of their God. Nothing happens but what is the will of God. That is not the Bible. That is not the one true living God. The reality is that there are all kind of things happening down here on earth that's grievous to God, very displeasing to Him. So, Mr. Well, why don't He stop it? He's going to sort everything out in due time. But one of the reasons why He's allowing things to go on and time is because He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And every day we have another day to preach the gospel. Millions have another opportunity to hear and to believe. Woo, glory to God. And to miss hell and to be saved. So thank God for His long suffering. Thank God for His mercy. But He knows when enough is enough. He knows when the time is done and the trumpet will sound, hallelujah, and everything's going to finish up. But until then, you and I are to occupy, hallelujah, till he comes. And to occupy, you need some resources. You need some stuff. Is that right? If the military is going to occupy, they need stuff. Is that right? They need tanks and jeeps and airplanes and ships, and all that stuff costs money. Huh? Well, in order for us to occupy, we need stuff, right? We need churches and Bibles and books and put all these things on the air and travel and have meetings and rent halls and whatever the case might be, right? You need all the resources. And we need our daily bread, we need our food, we need a place to live and sleep, we need clothes to wear. All this requires substance and provision. Is it God's will for us to have it?
Yes.
Is it ever His will to see us go without?
No.
Does it somehow please Him?
No.
You know, when you're groveling and hurting and can't pay your bills, and God looks down with a smile and go, well, that'll teach Him something. Huh? Yeah. Suffering through that, not being able to pay them bills, boy, they'll learn some stuff through that. Now I see class members shaking their head, but church-going people believe that. They believe that. But based on what? What's that believing based on? As Christians, our believing should only be based on what He told us.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
It is written. And what He told us is that He's good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And that every good thing comes from Him. Not bad. But, and there is no shadow of turning, no variableness, not the slightest hint of change from Him. God never changes. That's why our faith can be so steadfast in Him. He has never changed, and He never will. And whatever He said, He's never going to change that. And whatever He's done, He's going to keep doing the same thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we can have complete confidence that what He did yesterday, He's doing today. And He's doing tomorrow. And what He did for somebody else, He'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. And that has only ever been good.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say good,
good,
good. Good. You're going to hear me continue to talk about this as we gave these definitions. What is lack? Lack's coming behind. Lack is deficiency. Lack is falling short. Lack is some degree of poverty and penury. And the further degrees of it is being destitute. There are people who will die on the planet today for lack of a decent meal to eat. And that's a horrible thing. But that is lack. And so whether it's that or on the other end of the spectrum, you didn't have enough gas to make it through the week. Well, you didn't starve to death, but that's still lack. Whether it's enough to kill you today are just enough to annoy you, it's the same evil stuff. Huh?
Yeah.
Just varying degrees of it. And enough of it will kill you, it's evil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
How much evil do you want in your life? Well, nobody wants enough to kill them today. But why tolerate any measure of it? Why tolerate any degree of it? You gotta get off the fence about these things. I've been doing this for a while, and I'm pretty strong about it. I hate poverty. I hate it. I love poor people, but I hate the poorness. I hate the poverty. I hate the lack that is killing people, that is tormenting people, that is vexing people. I love sick people, but I hate sickness. Somebody said hate? Yeah, I use the word hate. I hate it. Why? Because the Bible tells me to hate evil.
Yes.
Tells me to. Tells you to. And so you don't need to be ambiguous about it. You don't need to be wavering. Well, you know, yeah, we don't like it. But you'll hear church going, people go, but you just never know, you know, what God had some purpose in it. Well, see, you don't know what's good and what's evil. You're not discerning between good and bad. And that's exactly where the enemy wants everybody, so that you won't go after full force what is good, and you won't resist full force what is bad. If you go, well, it looks bad, but it could be good. It could be from God. It looks bad, but it could be a blessing in disguise, so I better accept it and just whatever God wants. And it looks like me paying my bills would be a good thing, but maybe God knows I don't need to right now, and I would learn something good. So you won't even believe for what you need. You won't even resist what is bad. Can you see why the enemy pushes this like he does? All this convolution, all this confusion results in wavering. Huh? Not being sure. But I'm so thankful that I've been able to see in the Word of God that having plenty is good.
Yes.
It's good every day of the week.
Yes.
It's good everywhere you are.
Yes.
And that having lack is never a good thing.
That's right.
Never a good thing. Good is good. Evil is evil.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm against lack.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
Make up your mind. Make up your mind. I'm against lack. Whether it's a little bit being late on a bill, or whether it's something that's killing people because they don't have a meal. It's the same evil stuff, just varying degrees of it. And if it's evil, we don't want to have any of it in our life. None. And if the Lord is our good shepherd, I never want. I don't live in lack. I always have everything I need. And see, that needs to be a faith statement regardless of what you're looking and feeling like right now. Go ahead and say it. The Lord's my shepherd.
I'm never in lack.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
I always have what I
need. Hallelujah. Why? Because he takes care of me. My shepherd takes care of me. One more time. Lack is bad.
Abundance is good.
You know, when you say it, it should be obvious, right? And yet, people need help getting things confused, but the enemy is glad to provide you with all of that help. Listen to a couple of these scriptures here talking about the nature of God and the character of God. In Deuteronomy 32:4, talking about God, it said, He is the rock. His works are perfect. His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. This is talking about the nature and the character of God. This is Deuteronomy 32:4. That was the NIV. The BBE says a little bit differently. It says, He is the rock. Say it out loud, God is the rock.
God is the rock.
He's my rock.
He's my rock.
Well, what's the thing about it? Now, when he says rock, he doesn't mean a pebble. He's talking about a cliff, a mountain. He's the rock. What's the thing about the rock? It's not crumbling. It's not going anywhere. Is that right? You can't move it. You can't destroy it. He is the rock. Complete is his work. And all his ways are righteousness. A God without evil. Without evil, who keeps faith true and upright is He. He is the unchanging rock who is only good. And there's no evil in Him or about Him. Listen to Psalm 5. Where in the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Psalm 5, verse 4, it says, You are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with you. Listen to some other translations. One says, evil inhabits you not. The BBE says, there is no evil with you. The Good News says, you are not a God who is pleased with wrongdoing. You allow no evil in your presence. Evil can't dwell with him. There's no space, and it's one of the big reasons why Jesus had to redeem us and wash us by his blood, because we couldn't make ourselves worthy enough, holy enough to be in the presence of such purity and perfection and good. Because God is so powerful and good that evil is consumed in his presence. It melts in his presence. And so human beings being tainted by it and affected by it, the curse and sin and all of that, God wanted to bring us into his presence, but he couldn't because of that. Oh, but the blood of the Lamb, ooh, cleanses and washes to the point where we are made holy, clean, righteous enough to come right into the presence. Hallelujah. Of such goodness. Psalm 92, verse 15. 92:15 says, to declare that Jehovah is my rock, there's no perverseness in him. The New Living Translation says, the Lord is just, he's my rock, there's no evil in him. The NCV says, there's no wrong in him. The Living Bible, I like this one, says, this honors the Lord and exhibits his faithful care. He is my shelter, or he is my rock. There is nothing but goodness in him. Woo, somebody say, there is nothing but goodness in him. God couldn't give you poverty. He doesn't have any. He couldn't get it from heaven. They don't have poverty in heaven. There's not no poverty and lack around his throne. Right? No, no, no. God is perfect and just. There's no evil in him. There is only goodness in him. And every good gift comes from him. And there's no bit of changing or hint of changing with him. Aren't you glad? Yes. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And our time's up again. Say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome. And that's all this lack and evil and all this stuff. I overcome the world. By faith, I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.